I think I burned that frumpy dress. It's time to be done with it and never speak of it again, all right, Tim? Done with the frumpy dress. But he still fell in love with me, so all is well. Good morning. It is so great to be here with you today. I am really enjoying mixtape. I think it is just such a great opportunity for you to get to know our pastoral staff and how amazing they are. And I think it's also a really good example of how unique we each are. John Berglund is not Lisa Buller, and Lisa Buller is not Dan or Brenda Hicks, and Brenda is not Tiffany, and there is only one Tim Clark. And for that, we are glad. But each of us are very unique. God has gifted us to be our own person, and I just think mixtape is a great example of that, so we're enjoying this summer with you. Today, my message really is what I think a simple one. I actually had a similar message a few months ago to a group of ladies I spoke to, and I had Tim read it, and he said, "You need to share this with the church." And I felt like that was cheating a little bit, but as I was praying about today and what I was supposed to speak, God said, "You need to share that with the church." So it's been adapted a bit specifically for you today, but I think this is a word God has for us. So let's pray before we open the word. Father, we thank you that we can come together and worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have purposed to do today. I ask that you would use these words over the next minutes to plant seeds in our heart that will grow, to change us, Lord, to look more like you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start in 1 John 3:1. The beginning of that verse says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God," and that is what we are. And that is what we're going to talk about today, the fact that we are children of God. If you have given your life to Jesus, called him your Savior, then you are a child of God, a child of the King. And if you haven't given your heart to the Lord, if you haven't made a decision for salvation, you can do that today. And we will actually talk about that, give you an opportunity at the end to have today be the day that you also become a child of the King. The first thing I want to talk about as being a child of the King is that God loves you. I told you it was going to be simple, but we need to hear this today. God loves you, and that love is unconditional. If you look up the word unconditional, it's defined as not limited to any conditions, which made me laugh because I was always taught you cannot define a word with the word, and we defined unconditional with condition. But other ways to describe that unconditional love would be wholehearted, unqualified, unreserved, unlimited, unrestricted, and unquestioning. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that God's love for you is unquestioning, unlimited, and unreserved. He loves you unconditionally. And there are many verses in the Bible that talk about God's love, and I just want to read a few of them so we can start on this path talking about being children of God that he loves. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 8:38 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 2 verses 4 through 5 says this, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." And that part is so important. A couple verses later, Paul repeats it. In verse 8, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Sometimes we think that those works are what save us, but it's a gift of God. It's not by works. Titus 3, verses 4 through 5 says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Did you catch that? God's love is a gift. It is not by your works. It's nothing you can do. It's free, and it cannot be earned. And I think one of the biggest lies the enemy has told us is that it can be. But God's love cannot be earned, and it cannot be unearned. He loves us, period. So God's love is unconditional. The second thing I want to talk about is, what does it mean to be a child of the King? The first word that comes to mind is access. We have access to the King. Tim and I have three kids. They were with us in first service today. Caleb is 15, Johnny is 13, and Abby is 9. They all love their dad, and they have no question that their dad loves them, and they know that they have access to him anytime they want to talk to dad. They do not need to make an appointment. They do not need to wonder if he's too busy. There's a lot of you, and just because of sheer numbers, sometimes to get up here to talk to Tim after service is a difficult thing to do. It's not difficult for my kids. Now, we have taught them good manners. They are not going to run up and interrupt dad, but they know that no matter what, they can come see dad. They're getting a little big to pick up. The boys are taller than Tim. Abby, maybe we can still pick her up. She's getting a little old for that, but she can run and hug her dad's neck anytime she wants because they have access, the freedom to approach him at any time. Have you ever been to a concert and seen the people walking around with the thing on their neck, the all access pass? Yeah. So if you have a ticket, you can get into the concert. But that pass is like gold. It gets you not just into the venue, you get to go backstage. You get to see what's going on, see how they set up. There's something called a green room. Have you ever been in the green room? It has really cool snacks, and you can request what drinks you want. That all access pass gets you into the green room. You may or may not know that Tim is a huge U2 fan. Tim was a U2 fan before anyone else really knew what U2 was. So he's been a fan since I've known him, since before that. Well, I think it was before we were even married. U2 was on tour, and Tim and some of his buddies had bought tickets to go to the concert. Well, one of his buddy's friends was the guy whose job it was to create, graphically design, and print the all-access passes for the U2 tour. That's a pretty cool thing, right? So this buddy set it up. So Tim, I think there were five of them that went to the concert. Their name was on the list. They were going to get all access passes, and they were going to get to go backstage at this concert. So they show up to the concert hall. They go talk to the girl with the list, and they're like, well, your name's on the list. It says Tim Clark, but I don't have your passes. What do you mean you don't have my passes? My name's right there. Your name's here, but your passes aren't. I think they made that poor girl check for their passes probably 100 times. They went to every door. There were no passes. I don't think you're friends with that guy anymore, are you? The guy who was supposed to make the passes? So they had to just go to the concert like everyone else, and instead of sitting backstage and maybe talking to Bono, they just got to see Bono on the stage. Do you ever feel like that? You know you're supposed to have that all-access pass, but you're kind of just one of the crowd. You didn't get that access. You have access. I have to tell you, God's much better than Bono. Yes. We all would agree with that. That access, that we have the freedom to hang out with God. You have freedom to talk to him, access to your Father. And I know when we talk about fathers, for some of us it's painful, and I'm sorry for that. I recognize that actually none of us have a perfect example of a father, but a lot of us have a not great example at all because of our earthly fathers. But God represents the perfect Father, and he wants to dispel any false pictures you may have of a father's unconditional love. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you have complete access to God, an all-access pass. You're invited to be with your heavenly Father. So as children of the King, we have access. The other thing that it means is that we are heirs. Galatians 4:7 says, "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." So when we think of inheritance, we often think of something that happens after somebody dies. When there's a death, then there's something that you get because of that. But in this case, we don't have to wait until after death. The kingdom of God is not for someday, it's for now. We get to live in God's blessings today. Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 7 say, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus." Colossians 1:13 says this, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." When Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6:10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's talking about now. The best is yet to come. When we are in heaven and we see Jesus face to face, that is the best, and it will be amazing. But we don't have to wait for that day. We get to walk in the authority that we have been given now, praying and believing for God's kingdom and his will in our lives today, right now. So in the Old Testament, we watch the journey of the Israelites. They were rescued out of Egypt. They wandered around in the desert for a long time. At this point, Moses was dead, and Joshua had led them across into the Promised Land, and they had seen great victory over the enemy there. But some of them had yet to actually go and take possession of the land they were given. Joshua 18, verses 1 through 3 says, "The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua said to the Israelites, 'How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? As a child of the king, you have an inheritance, not for when you die, but for today. It's waiting for you.'" And I think just in the words of Joshua today, God would say, "How long will you wait before you take possession of the land I have given you?" It was theirs for the taking. They just had to go and claim it. And when I talk about an inheritance, I am not talking about a house or money or a car that somebody leaves you when you die. The inheritance that we're talking about today is a rich relationship of living life with Jesus every day. The inheritance I'm talking about is soaking in his word and letting it change you. I'm talking about being filled every day with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes at salvation, but it is an ongoing filling. Be being filled. Every day we come and say, "Fill me, Holy Spirit." We do not have to walk and try to do this life on our own. The inheritance I'm talking about is growing in prayer, having a prayer life, partnering with God, and learning how to walk life with him. I'm talking about the grace that abounds for you every time you mess up, and the forgiveness that doesn't keep score. 70 times 7, forgiveness, 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 it's yours. That inheritance is ours, and it's time for us to claim it. In Judges 2, verse 6 and 7, we're told that after Joshua dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to their own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. They went and took possession of the land, they claimed their inheritance, and they served the Lord throughout their lifetime. But then just a few verses later, we see something that is actually very sad. In Joshua 2, verses 10 through 11, it tells us, "After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals." When I read that this generation grew up and they didn't know God and they didn't know what he had done, it can make me weep over my kids, over your kids, over kids we don't even know, but a generation that needs to hear about the inheritance that is theirs for the taking. They need to know what God's done so they can believe what he will do. And it's our job to tell them. These kids need to be mentored, discipled, loved, corrected, brought into a family that can love them and show them God loves them more than anything else. Let this not be true of us, that there would not be a generation that would rise up that doesn't know, but that we would help these kids to know and understand what it is to live as a child of the King. Amen. So we've talked about God's love is unconditional, and we are children of the King. As children, we have access to him. He is always with us. We can approach him. There's no door. There's no appointment needed. Jesus is that door that leads us straight to the Father, and we can approach him anytime. We are heirs, not after death, but today. We live in the inheritance that he has given to us, living our earthly life, but enjoying things of the kingdom. So what does that mean for us today? What do I get to do? Well, we get to embrace God's unconditional love, and you get to embrace you, the you that God created. He made each of us individually. He gave each of us special gifts, and you get to embrace you knowing that God created you and loves you. We live in a world that likes to show us half-truths or sometimes untruths, which are lies. There are lies. If you are on social media, and even if you're not, when you just look around you, it's very easy to compare. And suddenly, your life doesn't measure up. You see things that you realize, man, these people have a nicer house than me. I wish I had that car. Or, wow, I wish I could cook those really great dinners. I wish my vacation was fun like theirs. This summer, Tim and I went on vacation with our kids. We went to Oregon. We had an amazing time. We always go to visit family. We just drive straight up I-5, get there, do what we're going to do. Well, this year we took our time. We went up the coast. We went to the aquarium. We drove through a tree. Have you ever driven through a tree? It was amazing. Huge tree. I have a van. We drove right through it. We went to my niece's wedding. We had a great vacation, and I thought it was a great vacation until I broke my vacation rule that I wasn't going to be on social media, and I thought, oh, I'll just flip through Facebook. Well, my friend and her family, they didn't go to Oregon for a vacation. They went to New York. They were visiting the Statue of Liberty. They were in Central Park. They had tickets to Hamilton. I don't know how they got tickets to Hamilton. As I'm looking at their vacation, suddenly my vacation didn't seem so great. I'm just in Oregon. How fun is that? I had a great vacation, and I needed to stop comparing my vacation to anyone else's vacation. We look on social media. We look on TV. We see. Yes. We see the gourmet dinners and the do-it-yourself projects that, you know, when you do them yourself at home, they never quite look like they did on Pinterest. What we don't see is what people are hiding. The broken dishes, the dirty dishes, the pile of papers that I cannot seem to get rid of in my house. You don't see the mess or the doubts, the tears. We have to stop comparing and look at what God has given you and what He's created you to be. We need to get rid of the twos and the nots, the T-O-O-S and the N-O-T-S. The twos, things like too fat, too skinny, too moody, too many mistakes, too far gone. And the nots, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not rich enough, not creative or ambitious enough, not strong or athletic enough, just not enough. You need to know that God made you. Our kids taught me this new phrase. I've never heard this before, but they use the phrase normies. I'm like, what's a normie? I think when I was in school, maybe it was just the popular kids. But now, not just my kids, it's this phrase. They talk about the normies, and those are the people that are normal. And I thought, and it's the popular, it's the ones that, you know, it's the kids that are really good at athletics. They get good grades. They drive nice cars. They have a boyfriend. They're the prom king. Whatever that looks like. But we talk about the normies, and I thought, who are we to decide what's normal? I think it's great if you're athletic and you're the prom king. I also think it's great if you're a musician or an artist or an introvert who maybe doesn't want all the attention. God made you to be you. Look, if you just look at our faces, we're all so unique. Every face is different. Every body is different. You have something very special that God's created you to be. And it's time to embrace who He's made you to be, walking in His grace, forgiveness, and love, following His way and His word, becoming more and more like Him every day. Sometimes we have things in our life that maybe aren't quite right, and we excuse it, and we say, oh, God just made me that way. Well, if it's sin, you have to repent and stop doing it. You can't just say God made you that way. There are things that, yes, God made me not to probably be an Olympic swimmer. But maybe, had I practiced, who knows? I'm not sure. But be who you are and be becoming more like Jesus in the midst of that, laying aside your selfish ambition, but absolutely be 100% loved for who you are, remembering that you can't earn His love, but you can't unearn it either. His love is free for the taking. Reach out and take hold of that today. Be refreshed by it and enjoy it. Yes. Know who you are, your true identity as a child of the King. Have you ever seen the movie Tangled? Yes, I have seen it numerous times, maybe with my daughter, maybe because I just like it. But if you haven't seen it, I will give you a quick recap. Tangled is about a girl named Rapunzel. And the movie starts off by showing us the king and queen in their beautiful kingdom, and they have a daughter, and they name her Rapunzel. Well, Rapunzel was born with a special power. I won't try to explain it, but it's the ability to regenerate. She can heal things, and things stay young if she touches them. So there was a woman who was growing old, and she wanted Rapunzel's gift. She didn't want to grow old. So she snuck into the castle, and she kidnapped Rapunzel when she was a baby. She took her way out into the forest, away from everything else, and hid her up in a tower. And she told Rapunzel she was her mother. She said, "People are going to want to harm you. You've got this special gift, so I'm going to protect you by keeping you in this tower." Kind of ironic, isn't it? Well, every year on Rapunzel's birthday, her parents, the king and queen, and the entire kingdom would float these lighted lanterns, and they would go up into the sky. They would do it in honor of Rapunzel. Rapunzel could see them out of the window of her tower. She always felt like they were special. Well, I won't ruin the story if you haven't seen it, but the rest of it involves a horse, a guy, and a frying pan. But I will tell you that Rapunzel finally leaves the tower, and on her journey, she discovers that she is the missing princess. And you'll have to watch the end of the movie, or the movie, to see how it ends. But why am I telling you about a Disney princess movie? Well, I will tell you. Rapunzel is a princess. She was a daughter born to the king and queen. Everything they had was hers. There would have been an inheritance of her becoming a queen one day, but while she was a princess, the whole kingdom would have been at her disposal. The castle and the grounds and the gardens. I'm sure there were amazing balls and banquets, the gowns, all of it would have been accessible to Rapunzel. It's what she was born for. But then, in the middle of the night, an enemy came in and stole her away from that. And she didn't know who she was. She had no idea because she was a baby when this happened. Mother Gothel was using Rapunzel for her own benefit. She told Rapunzel, "Oh, it's for your own good. I'm protecting you. You can't leave the tower." She would sing a song to her, "Mother Knows Best." And I listened to the words as I was preparing for this, and it's quite horrible. The whole thing, she's lying to her, "I know best, I'm taking care of you." At the end, she even tells her, "You're getting a little chubby, dear." The entire song is full of her telling Rapunzel lies. She was selfish and taking care of her own interests. So instead of living in the castle and having all of her needs met, Rapunzel was not able to enjoy the benefits of being a Rapunzel. She's locked up in a tower, not knowing her true identity. And how many of us have not known our true identity, but we've been told a lie about who we truly are? You see, Rapunzel didn't know the truth, but she knew. Deep inside of her, she knew something wasn't right. She could see those lanterns every year out of her window, and there would be a hope that would spark in her. Something that would say, "I think that has to do with me. I think there's more than just this tower." Finally, she got the courage to leave the tower, and it led her on a path to discover her true identity. She was Princess Rapunzel. And my prayer today for you is that you will start on that path, that you will take the step to get out of the tower and see your true identity. For some of you, you have been locked in this tower of lies for a long, long time. The enemy has lied to you about who you are, about what God's created you to be. Every once in a while, you get a glimpse of the floating lanterns. Every once in a while, there's a spark of hope, and you think maybe it can be different. Maybe there's more to this, but then the lanterns fade, and you start to believe the lies again. It is time to stop believing the lie, whatever that lie is for you. For some of you, you feel like you've been branded. For some of you, it could be tied to your career or maybe your lack of career. You never quite got the job you wanted. Maybe you never quite measured up to what your mom and dad expected you to be. For some of you, it might be education, lack of education. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I did not graduate from Bible college, even though I went for 3.5 years. And years ago, I wouldn't have told you that because I didn't like the idea that I went to Bible college, but I didn't finish Bible college. That does not define me. It is not who I am. And for some of you, you have things that you're embarrassed or ashamed. You just don't want to share. I blame Tim. I was going to graduate. I met this guy. I got married and moved away and started having babies. So there was, you know, he's got enough degrees for both of us. I'll let him be the school guy. But there are things that you feel you've been branded, whether it's lack of schooling. For some of you, it's relationship fails. You feel like you will always be the pregnant teenager, even though now you're 40 and your kid's in their, 30s. Maybe you'll always be the divorced single parent now. Whatever it is for you, the college dropout, the black sheep of your family, and maybe for some of you, it's not even a branding. You feel like, oh, life's okay, but you just don't quite fit in. You don't know what your niche is. You need to know that none of that is your identity. It is not what Jesus sees when he looks at you. He sees his daughter, and he sees his son, and he loves you. So it's time to stop comparing, get rid of the twos, get rid of the nots, and if you have to, you can get rid of Facebook. Stop believing the lie about who you are. You see, Mother Gothel isn't even the mother. She even gave herself a name that was a lie about who she was. You are not a servant that is locked up in the tower to do her bidding. Mother Gothel knew how valuable Rapunzel's gift was. And the enemy knows how valuable you and your gift are. And if he can keep you locked in that tower for years, he will have done his job. But it's time to come out of the tower. You have an amazing gift. And I talked about how unique each of us are. Your gift is your gift to use. And God wants you to be released to do that. It's time for you to look out that window and see the lanterns and know that they are truly meant for you. Come out of the tower, embrace the gift, and embrace your true identity. You are a child of the King. You are loved with an everlasting, unconditional love. It's time to see the light and walk out of the fog and walk into the unconditional love that your Father has waiting for you. Live in your inheritance today. Don't wait for a different day. Embrace it today. I want to end with a song from Tangled. Lisa's going to sing it for us because, well, you don't want me to sing it for you. But listen to the words. It talks about seeing the light and how we can be complete in knowing who we are in Jesus. Thank you.